Please turn in your Bibles to Genesis 7:11. And last week we had our guest speaker, Eric Barger, giving his testimony, a real precious time. If you missed it, it's online because it really was a powerful message of God's saving power in a man's life. And 3 weeks ago, we gave the background of events leading up to the global flood of Noah. You know, why was it that God flooded the earth? That was 3 weeks ago. And then 2 weeks ago, we actually jumped after the flood because I wasn't feeling ready for what we were going to do. And I still don't know if we're going to get to our PowerPoint today. But I made a handout. If I don't, the handout of where we're planning on going has on the final page, it has, and we're going to be putting our MP3 audio message is going to include this handout. So you'll be able to go online. But it has several things that you can watch and read that because we're not going to get us all the way through the hydroplate theory this week. And so it would benefit you to read the things on the hydroplate theory that are in your handout. And then what we're going to do next week is we are going to look at the evidence for a flood and evidence for the global flood based on the hydroplate theory. And the purpose for that is to really equip, especially the young people here, to just have strength to realize that people that tell us the world's billions of years old and we've evolved and things that you're going to know, oh, I feel sorry for you. You're not up to speed. In fact, there was a guy I go swimming with, this is years ago. We got into a locker room discussion, and I can't even remember how it started, but, you know, he gave me the evolutionary dogma, you know, that, hey, we came from monkeys, and, you know, over time, and we evolved, and then I said, oh, you're behind the times, and he got a little bit testy about that. He got a little upset, and I said, because, you know, science, I mean, current modern DNA genetic science proves that we're devolving, that in thousands of years, we are going to be extinct. And we're already, it's going to be an exponential thing, and we're already seeing it. I mean, we're already, there's more fear and trepidation, even in this generation, about going into labor and wondering, what's going to happen? Is my child going to be healthy? Are they going to have a birth defect? There's more fear and trepidation about that today than there was in my generation. And it's going to get worse every generation because the geneticists know there are massively more, there's greatly more genetic defects being introduced in every generation than they ever conceived, because evolution requires massively improving DNA through millions and millions of years. And see, that's the story, that's the fairy tale that's taught in every public school and higher education college in the world. They teach a lie. The science says we're going down, which happens to go along with a very good, reliable source, the Bible, that says in the beginning everything was good, and then bad things started happening. And then we entered into a corrupt world, and things started corrupting in our lives. See, the Bible's true, but they won't listen to the Bible because they have to. Their mindset, this is what you young people have to realize. These professors that have all this degree stuff behind them, they're going to give you a fairy tale because they cannot handle the truth. They refuse to believe in the truth. They turn to a lie. And God says that if they reject the truth, he will actually give them over to a lie to believe the lie. So it's not like they're knowingly lying to you. They just think that a lie is the truth and the truth is a lie. So why do we study the Bible? Because why are we studying this flood of Noah? Because Jesus said it was the truth. Jesus said that this happened. He quoted Moses and said that this happened. And the global flood really happened. The prophets of the New Testament said the same thing. And they said, the prophets of God said, and the world is going to be judged again. So if the world was judged before and the world is going to be judged again, we all believe God, right? I mean, if you don't, you're in serious trouble here. You believe God, you know judgment's coming. You want to be prepared for it. And you know that you deserve judgment. But you cry out and you appeal to the grace of God because you want to be saved from judgment that you know you deserve. And you want others to be saved so that they'll miss the judgment. See, that's why we study the Word of God. Somebody that used to come to this church, I just found this out this morning. They're in a discussion with somebody else that comes here. They left and they were saying, they were just in general conversation together and, oh yeah, the dinosaurs were wiped out, 60 million years ago when an asteroid hit the world. Now that is the popular theory of the purveyors of lies that are out there. Nova shows, everything else. You watch any documentary, that's what it is. Okay, so there's a problem there, wouldn't you say? Because to say that that is what happened, you're calling God a liar in what he recorded through his prophet Moses, and you're believing the lie, and you're actually contrary to the evidence, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, that they're finding carbon-14 inside of every dinosaur they sample, which proves scientifically that they were only dead thousands of years ago, and tens of thousands of years ago, thousands of years ago. And there's reasons why it could be 10,000, and it's complicated, we're not going to have time. And that there's soft tissue inside their bones, their fossilized bones, which is impossible if they're 60 million years old. But again, did everybody just say, okay, all the textbooks are going to change and all the universities and high schools and everything in the world because we have now hardcore scientific data that we're wrong? No, they try and come up with another lie, another way of dispelling it. But the facts are dinosaurs died thousands of years ago. And that's what the Bible says. So this Bible is accurate. It's accurate archaeologically. It's accurate in the flood of Noah. And we have to believe it because, well, if we don't believe it, we're calling Jesus a liar. And that has problems, wouldn't you say? Genesis 7:11, we ended with this last 3 weeks ago. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So this answers the question, where did the water come from? So when people say, oh, flood of Noah, well, where did the water come from? The Bible tells us it came from the great deep. So what does that tell us? Not explicitly, but what it tells us is that God created this earth with a whole bunch of water underneath the crust. From the great deep and about 60 miles below the crust by the hydroplate theory that we'll talk about more. So where did the water come from? The fountains of the great deep. Now, I'm going to say that the hydroplate theory explains it very simply. In fact, it says what Dr. Walt Brown said is just give me creation and one assumption that God created the earth with a bunch of water under the crust. And between the mantle and the crust. And the crust would have had pillars, and the Bible talks about this, pillars all over onto the mantle. So it's not like the crust is floating on an ocean separated from the mantle. The crust would have had pillars down onto the mantle. And he goes, just give me that in creation. And everything else about the flood is a natural result of that, except for God cracked the crust. Somehow the crust had to crack because the tidal pumping of the moon would have pumped that water up in temperature and pressure, would have made it supercritical. It would have stretched the outer crust like a balloon. And then either God or man in their fallen state did something to break the crust. And if you break the crust with supercritical water 60 miles down below, supercritical water is a state of water that's like 704 degrees. It's not liquid and steam. It's called supercritical, and we'll talk about that later. And it would have erupted with energy necessary to explode the side of the crack into pulverized dust and dirt that would have created the sediments of the world. And some of it would have jettisoned up into space and never come back to Earth. Becoming the dust and debris and water would have become the asteroids, comets, and trans-Neptunian objects. And is there good reason to believe what I just said? Because did you know last week we got, it missed us by that much. How many heard this story? An asteroid missed us. A 100-yard diameter asteroid missed us by 1/5 the distance between the Earth and the Moon. And that's close. That is truly missed us by that much. And now, if it would have hit like others have hit the Earth, would that be good? No. So when God created the heavens and the Earth, and he said everything was good, could there have been asteroids and comets as part of that? No. Because if he created the asteroids and comets in their known orbits with our name written on it at some time in the future, that's not good. But if the asteroids and the comets were birthed as a result of the flood, which all the evidence supports that it was, and we'll get to that next week. I'm going to show you evidences of all the chapters of Dr. Wall Brown's book, stuff that you can go and make your professors wishing you went to a different class. And, you know, they spout off, they're like, oh, professor, excuse me, but how come? How come the Bennu asteroid has evidence that water was on it at one time? How is that possible with your Big Bang theory of the origin of asteroids? How is it possible with the origin? By the way, if you Google origin of asteroids, Dr. Walt Brown's website, top hit. Origin of comets, Dr. Walt Brown's website, top hit. So this isn't, people are becoming, they're becoming aware of this. They're waking up to the evidence. And I could go on and on about comets and asteroids because they're so much better than staring at fossil layers and stuff and trying to interpret it, because comets and asteroids are physics and gravity. And just the orbits of comets, just by orbital mechanics, you might say, Kevin, you're just a pastor. I mean, you're a lowlife. You're a pond scum guy. You're a bottom feeder. I used to have a real job in the shipyard, and I was taking engineering courses engineering physics courses, and we did do orbital physics, so I'll just say that. By physics and gravity, orbital physics, the study of comet orbits and the fact that there's a Jupiter family and a Saturn family and Lagrange points on each side of Mars, et cetera, proves that they were birthed with inside the solar system. I mean, proves. People don't like to say proves, but it's the evidence. See, the thing is, we have evidence to support the hydroplate theory explanation, which is based on this. See, Walt Brown doesn't need any miracles or anything else. He just says, give me water and give me the crust, you know, the crust breaking. And everything that we see about the Earth comes from that logical first step. And we'll go over that. So the windows of heaven coming down is that what comes up, unless it goes at 7 miles a second, comes down. If you shoot something at greater than 7 miles a second, it's not coming back. But if you shoot at something less than 7 miles a second, then it's going to come back. And if it went up into space and it comes back, it's going to be, especially since carbon dioxide was leaving with the fountains too, and there's a big explanation for that, it'd come back as dry ice. So you're going to have massive dumps of dry ice and frozen water, and the stuff that was on the side of the fountains, the stuff that was on the side is not going out with as much velocity, and that would come back as global rainfall. See, if there wasn't global rainfall like happens with us when a cloud goes over. It was global rainfall based on a fountain that erupted through a 46,000-mile crack that ruptured around the Earth in 3 hours. So imagine this crack starts, and it just keeps going until it stops when it runs into itself. And so that entire crack had supercritical water erupting out and depressurizing and cooling off as it went up 60 miles. It would have been coming out actually pretty cold. And then it goes up and it becomes rain all over the Earth. And so it was the fountains of great deep burst up and the windows of heaven were opened. Now, how many of you heard the canopy theory? Okay. I mean, I was raised as a young Christian on the canopy theory. And the single half verse to support that theory is the windows of heaven were open. And the canopy theory, this is millions of Christians across the country were educated by Henry Morris and John Whitcomb, who took the idea of a canopy theory, not from the Bible, not from their interpretation of the Bible. They actually stole it from Isaac Newton Vale, plagiarized it out of a book of a guy just trying to say, how did the earth get water? Because they have a hard time understanding how the earth got water, or how asteroids got water, how anything got water with a big bang. And so they saw that book and they go, oh, let's take that and let's write our epic book, you know, the Genesis flood, which came out in 1961, which gave birth, praise Jesus, it did give birth to the creation science movement. But they didn't use the Bible. They used a man's idea and tried to fit it into that verse. Now, there's all kinds of scientific problems with the canopy theory, and nobody supports it anymore. Institute for Creation Research is the one that came out with it, Henry Morris, the founder of Institute for Creation Research. His son, who's now in charge, doesn't support it. His two sons don't support it. Nobody wants to defend it because, one, it's unscientific, and it's unbiblical. You only have that half of a verse that even can come close. Plus, what's the other issue? Where did the water come from? Oh, okay, so there was a canopy of water that just fell down to earth. Well, if it's a canopy of water up in space, the only way it can stay up there, those trillions of gallons, quadrillions of tons of gallons of water, to stay up in space, it would have to be in orbit. It would have to have a velocity to keep that up in orbit. And when it comes down, it would experience the same heat of deceleration as the space shuttle did when it burned up. You would burn up the entire world. I mean, everything would burn up. It couldn't happen. Plus, here's the other big problem. Think about this. How much water to fill up to Mount Everest to 22 and a half feet above Mount Everest? I can't even believe that I used to think it was true. I really am embarrassing myself that I even ever believed it. But I had these esteemed creationists telling me something, and I believed it to be true for a while. And then you've got all those extra trillions of gallons, bazillion, quadrillion gallons of water on the earth. Now God now has to bring a shot back on to get rid of it. Where did the water go? So at the very, the water had to come somehow, and the water has to go somehow for the biblical account of the flood to have sense, unless it's just a miracle, unless God just shot backed it off, which of course he could. I've had people leave the church because I don't believe in they think that I have abandoned the Bible by saying I don't believe in the canopy theory. God said it, and if you don't believe it, then why am I here? Well, God didn't say. He said it came from the fountains of the great deep, and the windows of heaven were open, which if the fountain goes up and it comes down, it would be like the windows of heaven. And so I have it here in your notes. It was first proposed by atheist Isaac Newton Vale in 1874, but adopted without credit and promoted by Henry Morris Jr. and John Whitcomb in 1961, in their otherwise important book. It was an important book, The Genesis Flood. And here's what's so sad about this, is because now none of these creationist organizations that promoted it for a long time, now they don't teach it, but they won't warn everybody, just, we're sorry. and many people have told them, you should educate people that you misled them, so that it gets put back where it belongs. And isn't it tragic whenever we do believe something that's not true or unbiblical, but we promote it, and then you send your kids off to school, and they, oh, you believe in that Noah flood thing? You don't want to believe in the fossil record being millions and billions of years because you believe in the flood. How did it happen? Well, a canopy came down, and then the professor eats them up alive. And then they go, my pastor told me, my parents told me, my creationist organization told me, and then they have to wonder whether they want to really believe it. It's really sad. And that's why I'm When I teach you the hydroplate theory, it's with great fear and trepidation that I am not leading you astray, that you'll be able to go, and I've looked at it, and it holds muster. So I'm almost for sure not going to get to the PowerPoint, but on the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. So it's not like, and why our study 3 weeks ago, God said 7 days, 7 days, and I'm going to flood the earth. And you take 7 days to get all the animals, finish getting the animals on, everything else to get ready for vacation. and then it's going to come. Can you imagine the faith that it would have? I mean, Hebrews says that Noah was commended for his faith of getting on that boat. Can you imagine the family? Okay. I bet you the crowds were out there jeering, like, again, the Bible doesn't say, jeering them, and they're walking on the boat. What are you doing? We're getting inside the boat. Why? Judgment's coming. Our God told us today is the last day. Oh, yeah. And they're sitting there on that boat. And can you imagine? Just, is it really going to happen? Is it really? I mean, God brought all the animals two by two. We didn't have to go rope them up. He brought the ones that he genetically wanted to be this, you know, the best ones on the boat. We have to have similar faith, don't we? God has told us judgment's coming, like we said in our communion time. Judgment's coming. And what are you doing? What are you radical Christian doing? I'm getting in the boat. I got in the boat. I'm staying on the boat. See, we have to wait more than a few hours. For me, 1974 till now. You, whenever it was. We're waiting, but we know the day is coming where we're going to die and stand before God, and we're going to know that being hidden in Jesus is going to give us everlasting life. We do that by faith, but it's not blind faith. It's evidence that we can know, especially with what he's done inside of our heart. They and every beast, 14, verse 14, after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh in which is the breath of life. Does that sound like a local flood to you? No. In every way possible, God said, this is a global flood. And the animals were directed by God to go, it says there, and people were directed to go. By faith, only eight did. So, verse 16, so those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. This is when I was first taught, and you know, this emphasis, it just so blessed me, you know, because they obeyed by faith, walked in through the door. What's the door for us? What does the Bible say the door is for us? It's Jesus. You know, when we really, without any reservation, nothing to do, in my hands I bring, God forgive me a sinner, we go through the door and God shuts us in. You're in. And you're going to have everlasting life. And you're going to be spared of the judgment to come. Isn't that kind of awesome? Isn't it? So, he's the one that shuts the door. Everybody who the Father gives me, which is everybody who comes to the Son humbly, will in no wise be cast out. You cannot, no one can pluck you out of God's hands. If you're truly born again, you're going to be changed. You're going to feel the power of God's Holy Spirit in you. You're going to know you're a different creature, and you're going to know you've gone through the door, and you're going to know you're inside the ark. Now the flood, verse 17, was on the earth 40 days. And actually, water keeps pouring onto the earth. We're going to find out in a later verse. For 150 days, the water keeps going up. But it only globally rained for 40 days. Why? Because at first, there's such a powerful energy of the water escaping from underneath the crust. But as the crack widened, then that energy becomes less and less and less till after a while the ocean is just kind of bubbling. But the hose hasn't been turned off yet for the 150th day until what Dr. Brown calls the compression event. which we'll get into later. So it was raining globally for 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. And by the way, canopy theory is abandoned. But now the major creationist organizations have come up with another theory called catastrophic plate tectonic theory. And it's worse than the canopy theory. It's unbiblical and it's unscientific. And to their admission requires multiple miracles to even make it work. And their theory basically is that you put seafloor spreading, plate tectonic, the seafloor, well, we're going to talk about this, on fast speed, and there would have been major tidal waves just sweeping over the earth several times. Does the Bible say tidal waves flood the earth? And their tidal waves can't keep on making the earth's water prevail upward and upward and upward. A tidal wave comes, that means the water came from someplace else where the water goes down. And so then the tidal wave moves back off. So you cannot, with the catastrophic plate tectonic theory, you cannot have a globally flooded earth to 22 and a half feet. And yet, it's promoted in everything put out by Answers in Genesis, everything put out by Institute for Creation Research. It was what was put out in the very, well-attended movie by the choir of Is Genesis History. And they malign Dr. Brown and they censor him. They won't even mention a single word. And he has a biblical view of the flood. And they have their invented by men using in the same way, using evolutionary mindset of how the earth was formed and what the seafloor spreading lie. They adopt the seafloor spreading lie and they deceive everybody that's reading their stuff. So sad. The waters increased, lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. If catastrophic plate tectonic tidal waves were happening, the Bible would have said, and the boat lifted, and then it landed, and then it lifted, and then it landed, and then it lifted, and then it landed. It's really amazing to me, actually. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. Now, that sounds like globally covered, right? That sounds like where the waters came from had to flood the entire earth. Well, Kevin, what about Mount Everest? What about, you grew up in Denver, you saw the Rocky Mountains, and so, how does that fountain put water over Mount Everest? And the answer from the hydroplate theory is because Mount Everest didn't exist. The Rocky Mountains didn't exist. The Appalachian Mountains, the Andes Mountains, they didn't exist. They were a consequence of the flood. The mountains, the high hill, it talks about the high hills here were nothing compared to today because those mountains formed in one day, and there's evidence to support this that I'll show you if and when we get to the PowerPoint program. Come next week. If I'm trying to bait you to make sure that something else isn't more important next week. There, in fact, there is one picture from just north of us in Canada that one picture destroys the evolutionary dogma of the geological column. Destroys it, and it is the only explanation for that folded mountain sedimentary layers. The only explanation is Dr. Brown's hydroplate theory. And so if you were to just plow all the mountains into the oceans today, if you plowed them all down, made the earth relatively flat, we're flooded. The whole world is flooded. The crust of the earth was relatively flat compared to today. It went into motion, came to a crashing halt. When it came to a crashing halt, the mountains rose in a day. That's what happened. And so when the Bible says that the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth and all the high hills under the whole heavens were covered, it's the truth. And the evidence supports it. Oh, and I got a shark tooth in my office, a fossilized shark tooth taken from the high mountains of Portugal. And you know where else you can find shark tooth? On the top of Mount Everest. So there's evidence all over the world that either the water did get up, either sharks did just get up there on Mount Everest with their oxygen bottle hooked up to their gills, or died up there fossilized, or the whole water, the whole earth was filled to that level, or those were down low and the shark was coming around, lost some teeth in the violence of the flood, and they were there and fossilized all over the world in the tens of thousands. And I didn't have to pay big bucks for my shark tooth, and got it from a place in a billions of years fossil place in Sisters, Oregon. So the waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. So 22 and a half feet. The highest place on earth was covered to 22 and a half feet. And no other theory but the hydroplate theory can explain how that could globally happen. Canopy theory can't. Catastrophic plate doesn't. And verse 21, and all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. And so there was global cataclysm. Global catastrophe occurred. And again, only the hydroplate theory can explain the horrible disasters that were happening that created the average 1 mile thick layer of sediments on the continents. So average over the earth, and you go to the Grand Canyon, a mile thick. If you want to go to the bottom of the Grand Canyon, you're hiking about a mile. And you can see all the sedimentary layers. That's the average all over the world. Only the hydroplate theory can explain how those layered strata were laid down on the earth. It came from the pulverization of the crack of the crust. As that water was coming up supersonically, it is destroying and pulverizing in the same way you saw Mount St. Helens turn to dust, right? For those that have seen Mount St. Helens explosion, the top 1,200 feet were accelerated at such a rapid rate with the pyroclastic explosion of the supercritical water being released that had been trapped underneath there. How did that supercritical water get down there? Oh, hydroplate theory explains it. Nothing else can explain it. But the pyroclastic explosion accelerated the top 1,200 feet of the mountain at such a velocity that it just pulverized rock. Well, that would have happened all along as the edge is coming in, and it would have sent sediments all over the world in the completely covered earth, and then it was sorted by liquefaction that we'll talk about into those fine layers that you see in the Grand Canyon, an average mile thick. The evidence supports a global flood. So, verse 23, so he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping things and birds of the air. They were destroyed from earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remain alive. Put your name in there. Only Kevin and those who were with Jesus remained alive. That's going to be written in the eternal Bible. It's only, put your name in there if you're a believer. And if for some reason you're here and you have not trusted in Jesus as your Savior, then you're part of the everything else that died. Eternal death and separation from God. Oh, I don't want to believe in a God that sent people to hell. He's not sending anybody to hell. He's inviting you. You're on your way to hell. Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him could be saved. He came to save people. He didn't come to condemn. You are on your way to being separated from the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are holy. Be holy because God is holy. And if you don't like us, you don't like our laws and all, you don't like all this stuff, you're not going to want to be where we are, so we separate you away from us. It's called hell, where there is no God, no love, because God is love. And so, I want to be alive with this God, don't you? He's a good God. He loves us. He's patient, long-suffering. I want to do it His way. Oh, I got to believe in your Son, Jesus, and come humbly and confess my sins to you to be saved. I can do that. I can lay down my pride and do that for the sake of everlasting life and being with you. So the water, and the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. The waters continued to come up till the 150th day. So another 110 days after the 40 days of global rainfall. Only the hydroplate theory can explain how come waters keep on going up from 40 days. Chapter 8, verse 1, then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. Now, what happened is the crack got so big that the mantle actually popped up into that crack because of the unbalanced forces of physics, just physics application. And when the mantle popped up, first in the Atlantic, then you have supercritical water still left, a little bit of supercritical water underneath the continents, 10 times more slippery than water itself. It's like oil. And the continents, started leaving the Atlantic, rising Atlantic Ridge. Just came off both sides. And that would have created a wind. And then the continents moved. There would have been tidal waves on the front ends of the continents. There would have been the mountains coming up out of the water, creating massive wind. And the Bible describes it just as wind passing over the earth. The compression event explains why that would have happened. Verse 2, the fountains of the great deep and the windows of heaven also were stopped, because now when the continents came to a crashing halt, the tips that had let the water out sink down into the mantle, stopping the water, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And only the hydroplate theory explains that. And we recently did a Wednesday night study covering this, and it's in our Genesis archives online. And we have handouts that show some of this. Plus, the sources I gave you in your handout are really incredible sources. Verse 3, and the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters decreased. In Job chapter 38, verse 8, when we're reading Genesis here, this isn't the only place that talks about the flood. There's Psalms and Job and other books. There's dozens of other verses about the flood outside of Genesis. Every one of them consistent with the hydroplate theory. None of them consistent with the CPT theory. Catastrophic plate tectonics. For example, Job 38:8. Or who shut, God talking to Job, who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth? Fountains of the great deep, and issued from the womb, the great deep. When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness and its swaddling band, when I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said, this far you may come, but no further, and here your proud waves must stop. God says, okay, I flooded the earth because half of the world's oceans today came from underneath the earth, and God shut it down and said, this is where the land masses are going to, this is where they're going to be. No more. And the ark rested in the seventh month and the 17th day of the month on the mountains of Ararat. Doesn't say Mount Ararat. It says the mountains of Ararat. And some people think it's on Mount Ararat. Walt Brown has a whole discussion. He met with the CIA, head of the CIA about this, George Bush, other people. So, he's looked at it, not sure where the ark is. Doesn't really matter. Do we need to find the ark? Do you think if they found the ark that everybody else is going, okay, I'm done questioning the Bible. I'm going to be a believer in the God of the Bible. Is everybody, no? What did Jesus say to the rich man that says, go warn my brothers? If somebody comes from the dead, then they'll, Jesus says, no. If they won't believe Moses, the biblical, neither will they believe somebody who comes from the dead. And isn't that true? Did the Pharisees repent when they knew that Jesus rose from the grave? How about everybody else that said, crucify him? Did they believe? See, God takes, as I've emphasized so often, if somebody doesn't get humble, they'll never get saved. When we think that, because we come up with one argument against creation, and then they shoot it down because they find out the dinosaurs are only thousands of years old, and they come up with something else. That's not really soft tissue, that's collagen. Well, and then that goes away, and they come up with all this foolishness. because they have to believe a lie. Because their pride prevents them from bowing the knee and say, there's a God that rules over the affairs of men and I should really worship him. So sad. So where did the water go? When the continents moved away from the Atlantic, rising mid-Atlantic ridge and crushed up, there's new ocean basins that the waters ran off the continents into. And that's why the mountains become seen. Rested 17th day of the month in the mountains of Ararat, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. So it came to pass. Oh, and by the way, the inner earth is melting during this time. We'll talk about that later. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. Then he sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot. And she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself. So the ark landed, but the earth is going through still just major upheavals as a result of the imbalance with these continents that have moved on top of the mantle. And there was going to be earthquakes. The Pacific is subsiding. The inner earth is melting. All these other things are happening. And, stay in the ark. No, it's not safe yet. And the birds are going out there. They can't find anything. And then when he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent out the dove, then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth, and Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. And so all the vegetation, much of it had been buried in the fossil record to become our coal deposits and natural gas and oil fields, but some of it would have stayed as floating mats on the top of the waters and laying down their seeds in the newly laid down sedimentary layers, and they're starting to sprout. And so the dove was able to grab a freshly plucked olive leaf and bring it back. So he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return again to him anymore. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried 1 year, 10 days after the fountains of the great deep burst up. So it was a 1 year long cataclysmic destruction of the earth. The earth that existed when Noah went into the ark was totally, totally destroyed. There was another show, some show about, oh, we think we found Eden. I mean, Eden is gone. It was on the earth that was in Noah's day. It's been destroyed. It's been buried. And nothing that we see on the earth today was in existence when the flood of Noah occurred. If you want to go see what was in existence when the flood of Noah occurred, just start digging into the fossil record. This dino, he was alive when the flood of Noah occurred, roughly 5,000 years ago. And all these other millions, billions of sea creatures and animals and all this stuff that's been buried was all alive. The frozen mammoths of Siberia that we'll get into. that frozen mammoth that's at the museum in Russia that was almost an entire mammoth, just its head had been eaten by the dogs when the permafrost had melted enough to get to the head, and the wolves ate the top of the head. They reconstructed that. And so they were able to study that thing all the way down. It died standing up. It died of suffocation. It died with debris in its lungs, with dirty water in its lungs. It died of suffocation because of carbon dioxide. When they would take the ice out, it would then rust, showing that it hadn't seen the air. It rained dry ice. The inside of this elephant's stomach still had undigested food. That's not possible. You go shoot an elephant, someplace and just let it sit there, the digestive process is going to keep going because the body's hot and the bacteria is going to get going and it's going to be digested. They've done studies. You would have to get an elephant to minus 50 degrees right now on the outside. Kill it, make it minus 50 degrees to be able to cool it down to the inner body enough to keep that from running. Every elk hunter knows you just put a whole bag of meat inside the freezer because you're waiting for the butcher to open up. You'll rot your meat if you don't get it there pretty soon because that inside meat, the outside freezes, the inside meat doesn't freeze because of the insulating effect of ice. And so the inside rots and you can lose a lot of your meat. You have to separate it. But so how does a huge mammoth have that? How did it die standing up with several broken leg bones? You know, its legs were broken and its ribs were broken. All answered by the hydroplate theory, jettisoning water up into space and carbon dioxide, came down in certain areas, raining on these mammoths, and that mammoth just got frozen in place, and it just kept piling on him and broke his legs after he was already locked in ice. Only explanation. And we'll cover that sometime. And I'll just say, you know how long people believed in the flood? Thousands of years. I mean, not just Jews, but people believed in the flood. Why? Because every culture had a flood story in their past because it really happened. But way back when, and they just passed it down. And so that was one reason. One, there was a general respect for the Hebrew scriptures because they all knew what happened to Egypt. They all knew what happened when the part of the Red Sea. They knew what happened with all the things that happened. They knew that the Bible was true. Or they would believe in some mythological prayer. Oh, yeah, the earth is held up by Atlas and he just spins it around or whatever he does. But there was no alternative until evolution came, the origin of the species in 1859, followed shortly after by Wesley Powell's trip down the Grand Canyon. And Darwin said, we need millions of years for these small changes to happen, to go from amoeba to man. He skips from chemicals to man, because that's the key. You got to go from chemicals to man, not amoeba to man. And so then Wesley Powell says, I bet you all those columns were laid down over millions of years. And then the two came together, and we got our government educational system ever since then. That has been lying to you for all these decades since then. And it's a very, it's inspired by Satan, the deceiver, the father of lies, the deceiver of our souls. And next week we're going to show the evidence of these things. And may God help us. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I especially thank you that despite all the lies, you've always allowed the truth to prevail. In the years of Darwin, they didn't even know what a cell looked like. And Darwin said it was as complicated as a ping pong ball. And now we know there's miracles beyond miracles, down to the smallest structure within inside the cell of every living thing on earth. And it just screams out of a creator of massive power and wisdom and knowledge and infinite knowledge. And God, we just thank you that through your son Jesus, we can come to you and see what you as the creator have in store for those who love you. God, we know heaven's going to be a wonderful place, but we know you probably got things you couldn't even tell us in the word because we couldn't handle it. Lord, we want to love you like you love us and worship you until you come and stick with the truth no matter what the world says. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God in the song.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea assurance control. That Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed His own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin.
Someday our faith is going to be by sight, if it is well with our soul now. If there's anybody that's not well with their soul, then please let's come up and pray and get right with Jesus while I can, because the judgment is coming. I don't think I've ever signed homework, but I'm going to use this to go to YouTube, and instead of clicking on some lame-o show, just go to Brian Nichols' website. And just do his site, and there's 11 videos on there. One of them is watch part 1 through 6 all at once. You might, or you can watch them individually. And then there's another 5 independent videos, and you'll appreciate next week more if you've watched that as a background. So, God bless you. Keep you in His care until we can fellowship again.